have one problem with an ambassador, which you may have to step into, which is Corey. He's just written you a long letter complaining bitterly about his mistreatment by essentially Rogers and us. Second, well, he says he's tried to carry out his orders faithfully and he's taking a beating as a result of it. Buckley, who was down there to see him, has written us a letter.
I didn't tell him that she could. I didn't give you a little time. I have to finish something that's quite important.
I hold no brief for him except that he needs the money and that he has a hell of a lot of information of what we did down there. Bill is furious with him for something he did, for recommending that A be moved out of the State Department and he's been... But I hold no brief for him except that I think we ought to keep him employed until after the election. Yeah. He just knows too damn much.
Future. Right. We can't get it, we won't get it, I understand that. Right. But we know how what kind.
Yes.
On television, it's gone. You see, the point is that you have to realize that that's what really matters in terms of public thing.
Right.
And throughout the television at the present time, is actually zeroed in on these people. It'll zero in on the demonstration Saturday, and then they'll try to play it for the next 2 weeks. They're stringing it up. And it's highly unconscionable reporting on the part of television.
It's
highly unconscionable. They're
they want to destroy you, and they want us to lose in Vietnam.
I really think that it's more the latter. They destroy me. I think they know that they're both the same.
That's right.
But deep down, basically, you want to realize that critics of the war are furious. That when they thought they had it licked, when they threw Johnson out of office, they thought, well, now we've won our point on the war. Now we've come in, and it looks like we're going to. They know what it is. They, despite all the way we put the cosmetics on Henry, they know goddamn well that what our policy is to win the war. And winning the war simply means that it's on Vietnam survive. That's all.
To come out
and win the war.
That's right.
Now, with this in mind, we've got to realize that we're dealing that's your TV people, that's your newspaper people. I mean, despite one of the guys said that some of my colleagues want you to lose, but we don't. I don't. Was it Severin told you that?
Hubbard.
Maybe he believes that. He doesn't represent the majority. Those guys out there in that press room, 90% of them wants to lose.
No, now the masks are coming off. Chelan, for example, I mean, or whoever wrote that Washington Post editorial today, they now say we have to give up our interest in the future of the South Vietnamese government. That's the only way we can get out. They wanted to lose. I mean, that's now, they used to have ceasefire and 50 other things.
Yeah. But now they say, when I said that one condition, which I've always said, is that Vietnamization basically, by definition, means a withdrawal. Our policy is not a withdrawal. Our policy is a withdrawal in any way that will let South Vietnam survive. We've always said that. And now, you see, I think it's going to be forced out now. So that they are finally saying that they say we must give up on the right of the South Vietnam. Even the Christian Science Monitoring, which has my editorial as well, that wouldn't be any recrimination in this country because nobody really cares what happened to South Vietnam. They're crazy as hell.
They're crazy as hell
because afterwards.
That's what the radicals understand. They want to break the government. They want to break confidence in the government. They don't give a damn about Vietnam because as soon as Vietnam is finished, I will guarantee the radicals will be all over us, or all over any government for other things. These tactics of confrontation aren't going to end, and our tremendous national malaise. Right now, the establishment has the great excuse of Vietnam. No matter what goes wrong, they blame Vietnam.
Well, like those college presidents at the time, you remember, they were really relieved, really, that as they said, their campuses were politicized. You remember that horrible brought scares because of Cambodia, but they were relieved. So you took the heat off of that?
Well, they told you, if you go on national television, don't talk about university problems, talk about international affairs. When you ask, what should I talk about, they said, don't talk about university problems. Talk about international
affairs. One day when the war is over, then they got to look in the mirror. They don't want to do that, do they?
That's right.
That's the real thing.
And face the real issues. I remember 3 years ago when Harvard first blew up, I told the liberals there that 2 years from now, it will be infinitely worse with all the concessions you've made. You'll meet every one of these points. It should be worse off. Last year when the radicals smashed every window in Harvard Square, one of those professors was honest enough to call me up and say, yes, now I see. Yeah. But now they have picked riots at Harvard. They're not reporting them or picked to do
it. Are there riots going on now?
Well, they have a tremendous campaign on against professors they consider right-wing with the slogan, no free speech for war criminals. In other words, the movement that started as a free speech movement in Berkeley is now a no free speech movement for war criminals, and thereafter, some of my colleagues, Sam Huntington, who would be liberal, but he's honest.
I know who he is.
And they want to force him off the faculty.
Oh, he doesn't go.
No, but the dean of the school of health, the Kennedy School, called me yesterday and said, we are holding a meeting and we are convincing our faculty to vote for him. I said, well, you have to have a meeting to affirm that you're against the no free speech. And why do you have to convince anybody? That ought to be taken for granted.
Who is they when they say no free speech? Or
that's the FCS trend. That's the,
when I got this, I represent the whole school.
No, but it's the 10% of the activists and the others are cowardly. But I think it's the macrocosm of our society, Mr. President. I think the big problem in this country, I feel that as a historian, it's going to happen after the war is over. They know the war is over.
Even if we led it right well.
No. No, but that's why they're radicals. The radicals understand what they're doing. You cannot win for two reasons. One, because it's you. You're so anathema.
No. Two, they know that they never will influence me.
And therefore, you don't panic. You're not trans. And secondly, because they think the war is a magnificent opportunity to break the self-confidence of this country.
And
of the system, so they use both of it. But they'll be back next year with the war over and they'll find some other issue. These conferences, if the war is over next year or whatever it will be, or 2 years from now when it will surely be completely over. And they'll find enough in Vietnam for a good long time because...
And then we will be supporting the new key government with military...
They're already starting that.
Oh, I know. And I know they will. Just like they do in Cambodia.
In fact, I am wondering, Mr. President, if it can't be done this minute, seriously, whether one shouldn't go on the offensive against them, whether one isn't.
Yeah, I know.
On the wrong wicket, batting back the balls they throw, whether one shouldn't accuse them of turning the things over to the communists. Just don't have the sense that this is a soft country.
I think I have been on the offensive as much as I can be.
You have been there.
Yeah.
You have
done. Everything I have said in my speech in that meeting with the editors.
You couldn't do
it. Line, hell, there's... What more could I...
You can do no more.
Thing.
You can do no more.
Do you think, or should I do more? I can
not right
my
now.
Heart.
Not right
now. I don't think I can and still maintain any... You know, we've got to still maintain basically the bakers that time.
No.
Okay. That's our problem.
No. To these people is that there may be more to what you're doing as much into Saigon. It doesn't make any difference. He said, I don't agree with him.
Oh, he doesn't?
Yeah.
Well, good.
No, Tom, well, of course, by the time Mankiewicz gets through with him, he'll agree with him again.
But he doesn't agree with him. That's what they are saying.
That is what they are saying.
The Communist March in Saigon. And that's what the war is all about. You can't forget why we went there.
Yeah.
Withdrawal is not a policy, Henry.
I said to him, what I don't understand, I said to him, look, the president has put himself into a position where the war must end, either because our policy is wrong and we'll get defeated next year, or because it is right and we will have made it. Why don't they, if our critics are so convinced, that would be the surest way to get rid of us. But I said, I think they're afraid that we'll succeed. And of course, Braden isn't so bright. But he's a decent guy. Braden himself is decent. Mankiewicz is a dangerous guy.
Smart.
He's smart and he hates you and he's a Bobby Kennedy type.
But I'll put it that way. Oh, this is politics the way it is, but I bet you Conway shut the hell out of him. That little piece in the Washington Post for Conway, I don't know whether he expected that once he got there. He said, well, the war won't be an issue next year. It's good for him to say that. War won't be an issue. He didn't say it's going to be over, he said it's going to be an issue. And he says the economy isn't going to be an issue. That's the way to talk. Talk confidence.
I remember, Mr. President, this is a little worse than last year, but by June 70, we were just holding on. We had to keep putting out little things.
You mean after Cambodia?
After Cambodia. And then by September...
How much worse is this? I don't think it's worse.
No,
last year we had Kent State and Jackson State and that horrible...
No, the demonstrations are easier this year.
The demonstrations, but the attack from the press is worse.
The attack from the press is more ruthless this year.
More political.
And more political. And the Democrats were a little... But still, they were terribly vicious last year. Oh. We had the McGovern-Hatfield thing.
Yeah, we had the Cooper Church.
The Cooper Church, I meant, was throughout June.
McGovern-Hatfield was along right at the same time.
McGovern-Hatfield was along. I remember they were bringing pressure on me to resign because they thought this would make McGovern-Hatfield...
Remember, McGovern-Hatfield was by the end of last year.
That's right.
They're moving their year up each time. Their deadline now. They're goddamn near to ours, aren't they?
Yeah, pretty close to us. Well, I'd be interested to see what the North Vietnamese are going to do. I think if we, as long as you stay in your present posture, I think we may have a chance of breaking it this year. Or getting them to turn it down, and if they do, we'll surface that, because then we don't need anything from them.
Well, what I was going to tell you is that I think when you go over to Paris, that you've got to present it in a way. This time I want it to be done in a way so that everybody, so that with the assumption that we will want to be able to tell Rogers and everybody else that you've gone.
No, I'm going openly.
Openly, that's what I mean. Your meeting's not going to be open.
No.
And then you have your meeting. And we will say nothing about it in the event that anything's going to come out of it. If something does not come out of it, however, then let's say something about it and say, well, I was over there and we knew it, and have in mind the fact that we'll service those portions of it that will serve our interests. And in other words, make an offer. Make an offer. No.
Mr. President.
In other words, try to think in terms of if you get to the point where you're talking to them and they're dancing around, make an offer that is so outlandish, not outlandish in terms of it, that they really ought to accept it. I remove the date right up and says, we've offered this. See what I'm getting at?
Yeah.
And they won't. They're either going to make a deal or they determine to sit it out. If they're not going to make a deal, then the thing to do is to make an offer that makes them look absolutely intransigent. See? And then with the idea that the purpose is not to get them to accept the offer. We hope to Christ they don't. We know they won't. But that the purpose is to make an offer that is...
But I thought it in the first meeting, I wouldn't give them any date so that it can't fail on that. I'd say, we'll give you a date if you're willing to have a ceasefire and a repatriation of prisoners. Then we can give them any day.
Yeah. Then I would simply say, all right, here's our date. This is it. We offer it, and I think it all should do it.
But one thing we might consider, Mr. President, that just occurred to me this week, as long as we're playing it this way,
yeah.
Whether, depending if they don't accept it or if they keep it in a bank, if at the end of the meeting I don't tell Xuantui to talk to me alone for 5 minutes with just his interpreter present, if I tell him, now look, this president is extremely tough. You've been wrong every time. If you think you're going to defeat him, if you don't accept this, he will stop at nothing and imply that you might do anything.
Sure. Oh, sure. Sure, do it.